chapter 2. We'll go to two passages today, but we'll start right here at Ephesians 2. The title of the message is Children, Then and Now. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Start at verse 2. Start at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what would you term that verse? What would that be termed in theological terms? It'd be regeneration, wouldn't it? Keep that in mind. There's been a change. You've gone from life to death. We'll get into that in just a little while. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And here it is, children then, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were, if we're believers, all of us. At one time, we're children of wrath, even as others. By nature, it says, not just by practice. Children of wrath. They say that this children of wrath is a Hebraism. I never heard that. It's a Hebraism. In our words, in our definition, we would call a Hebraism, it's by all indications is what that means, a child of wrath. By all indications or by all the necessary facts. So in other words, if back in those days, if a child was doomed to die, which often they did by some disease, there wasn't much they could do about it. So if they were doomed to die by disease, which they knew early on, they'd be called a child of death. Or if they were poor, which almost always, if you were born poor in these days, you remained poor. So you would be called a child of poverty. So it sort of opens that up, don't it? Child of wrath. So what Paul means, by all indications and by all the facts, you are a child of wrath. So what are those? That's the first point. What we were. What does Paul mean by what we were? What we are, children of wrath. What's he talking about? Well, the first fact or indication that we are children of wrath is this. We're born that way. He tells us that, don't he? David tells us that over in the Psalms. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, if we believe the scripture is infallible, which I do, and I think most of us in here would believe the Bible, there's no argument there, is there? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. If we believe God said this through David's pen, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That simply means we were born bad people. Our first parent, Adam, he was the first father of us all. We trace all of it back. We're all brothers and sisters. Thank God it all spread out so our kids are not walking around with three eyes and four ears and all. We're all brothers and sisters. Go back to one father. And he fell. He fell. Everybody knows that story, don't they? Adam fell as the representative of us all. And the scripture tells us that. So once again, we're going to believe the scripture. As long as we believe the word, things stay pretty simple, don't they? It's when we make our own opinions that things get sort of muddied up. But the scripture says this. It says, by one man, sin entered the world, And then death came by sin. It's easy to understand, isn't it? One man did it. Now, many object to this, don't they? A lot of folks that you run into, they'll kick up their heels to this thing we call original sin. That's what original sin is. And it's also a representation. Adam represented us. It's a principle, representative principle, original sin. But whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, it doesn't change the fact. It is just a fact. So we just bow to it. But if you want to kick up your head, you know, and what most folks would kick up their heels about is one thing. What is it? That's not fair. That isn't fair. I didn't say it was an apple that Adam disobeyed God on doing and ate. Make it simple. Say it was that. People would say, well, I didn't eat that Adam or that apple. Adam ate that apple. But that doesn't change it, does it? Still the facts. But in that, there's a blessing. Folks don't see, because in that principle, another principle, a representative principle was established. Because God is going to be fair, isn't he? He's going to be just. He's going to be fair. So in that, that another principle was formed. A way of restoration was allowed. You see, the angels fail individually. And you can go to Peter, you can go to Jude and see this. The angels fail personally, individually. So there is no opening for them anymore. There is no way for them to be restored. Scripture tells us, Peter tells us, they're doomed in chains of gloominess forever. But, men sinned representatively. And it gives us hope. Scripture tells us this. Here's the hope. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. See, God's fair, isn't he? He's fair. We fail through one representative. And that's inconsistence, and so inconsistent with God's justice and fairness, the principle is allowed for us to rise by one representative. First, we fail not by our own fault. Okay, we'll give you that. We're going to take it away in a few minutes. But say we fail, not by our own fault. It wasn't my fault we fell. Okay, all right. God says we fell by one man. But he also gives us a chance, not on our merit, to rise by another. Death by sin comes through Adam. But life by grace came through Christ. I'll take that trade, won't you? Absolutely, I would. And then the next fact that proves that we are children of wrath is others. God could not look at us, look at our nature in anything other than with wrath. Now, humanism, like you say, that progressive thing, that religion in general, will try its best to make some good out of man. Yeah. They'll say that there is some spark of goodness in man. Let's just try to find it. And it really, if you know crusty thing like me, you just easily look for the bad in somebody. It makes it a lot easier because that's what you expect. And you know, I look for nothing. But folks do. They love to, let's find, just dig around, find the good. That's what religion does. But that's bull. That's idle talk. It's not scripture. Because here's what the scripture says. The scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, it says who can know it? He's saying, I don't even know how bad my heart is. Who can know it? Our Lord said this. He said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. In other words, everything in anything creeps in the heart of every person sitting in this room this morning, every and anything. You know, folks say, if I know my heart, no, you don't know. You don't want to know your heart. Was that E.W. Johnson used to say, how dangerous he was? If you didn't know E.W. Johnson, he's about my size, fella, the sweetest old fella you'd ever meet. And you think, but he afraid of himself, wasn't he? Didn't trust himself. Now look, culture, I'll give you culture and education, laws, all this stuff will hide that nature, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that it does. I'm thankful that we're just not turned loose out there in the woods somewhere and with no culture, no education, no laws. We need laws, don't we? Right? Laws protect us. So the imitation of a good man, a good role model, I mean, these things will hide, they'll mask that evil nature, but it's there. It'll restrain it. But the best of us placed in the right circumstance, who knows what we'll do? In a little while, the Falcons are going to kick that ball off. You take that football and you put a couple of cups of gunpowder in it. And them 22 guys can kick it, throw it, spike it, fall on it. They can do anything they want to with it for the next 4 hours. And nothing will happen. Minus what? A spark. Now you put a spark in that football and somebody's going to get blown up. Well, that's how sin is. You can tame a tiger or a bear. We see this all the time. We had chickens, the girls. Amber gives me a dirty look. We had chickens when the girls were little. And old Scarlet. Scarlet was a good old dog. But she killed one of those chickens. Over time, she killed another. She killed another. She got another. Just passive old dog lay on the porch. As soon as that car got gone, she was chicken hunting. You got to taste the blood in her mouth, didn't you? There you go. That's sin. That's sin. Grace restrains even the unbeliever. But you put that spark to his mind, and there you go. And here's another fact, indicator. We're children of wrath. Our practice, I told you I was going to get back to us. We can't lay everything back on Adam. Our practice was according to our nature. Those of us who are believers who've been saved by grace, we know, we're honest. We should be honest. We know, don't we, Steve, that our practice is according to our nature. We're thankful that we know that. You take an old field line, septic tank line, you know, you start smelling something and you start looking. You know what the smell is. So you start looking. A leak somewhere. And you find that leak in the field line. And what's that? That water is sort of is nasty looking, sort of oily looking. It stinks. Why does it do that? Well, if you trace that line back, where does it go? It goes into a tank, don't it? That's our nature. You trace our practice back to our nature, and it's no wonder our practices are that way. It's a nature. The nature's got to change. It's in our heart to do bad things. If you're a believer, do you look back with joy and pride at what you used to do? No. No. You try your best to forget it and thankful that a lot of it you have forgotten. Amen. And you get nervous when somebody old walks in the room afraid something is going to come up, don't you? You do. And I'll give you, there is big sinners and little sinners. I won't argue that. And we're all sinners, but there's bigger ones. Look, I may not have done some of the things that my friends did, but I did enough. And here's the worst thing. I did it having sat down here all my life. So I sinned against light. I did those things knowing there were. A lot of my friends did things, and they really did. They did them in ignorance. I did it with my eyes wide open. So who was the bigger sinner? Maybe me. And then fourthly, had not God in long-suffering, prevenient grace, that's grace going before grace, prevenient grace, spared us until conversion, we'd had to have endured this wrath. We would have. Forever. No hope. No hope. No consolation. Doomed to wrath forever. You know, most everybody's familiar with that passage in the scripture that says, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." That's a scary phrase, isn't it? So it's sort of a, it's just not a good phrase. You want to hear that. You don't want to hear it when you think about maybe those you loved who've gone before. Did they hear that? Did they hear that? "Depart from me." Terrible words. And then these words, you hear growing up of that place where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. And yeah, you don't like to hear that either, do you? Terrible words there. And then here we see it, rejoice. We're rejoicing in our good hope through grace. But just turn it around just a little bit, and those would have been words we heard. Had it not been for that grace we're rejoicing in. Time and time again, I thought I could have been there. I could have gotten sick and died outside of grace. Where would I? I'd have heard those words. I'd have been tormented in those flames. You've been in situations with friends, and you know, you get into an altercation with folks, and I thought, boy, you could have turned and somebody could have killed you. Right. You know, just sort of innocent night, who knows what could have happened. And there I go, tormented in those flames. Who all knows what could have happened? I mean, thing after thing you think about. Life's frail. I mean, I've been doing that job, Brandon, now for 30-some years, and you saw it. Life is, boy, you just don't know. We see it every day, don't we? I mean, every age. My goodness, life's gone just like that. The craziest things will take you out. I'll never forget that tire. You remember years ago, ran a call on a tire had come off a transfer truck, and the tire rode a mile down a hill and hit a lady. No phone booths anymore, but back then there were phone booths. Hit a lady in a phone booth and killed her just like that. Like a mile that tire rode straight. It could have hit all kind of things and gone off in the woods, but stayed on that highway for a mile. That's how frail and unpredictable life is. In 20-plus years, God spared me. Spared me. But take those years away and anything could have happened. And I would have been under that wrath. How do you get that? Well, the text tells me that. I was a child of wrath, even as others. Is that right? God's grace, His mercy in Christ made that difference. And it makes a difference between children and others. That's the only thing it makes a difference between His children and others. It's what verse 5 says there. By grace are you saved through faith. It's grace that makes the difference. No difference originally, though. We are under that wrath, even as others. Now, I know God's children are, from eternity, objects of His love. And they're protected, and there's that, and I don't understand that. Chauffeur sitting right down here on the front, if you don't know, you can ask him at the end of the service. I don't understand it. But it's true. It's true. There was a time outside of grace, had I died, I'd have been forever under this punishment. But it gives us hope. Us being children of wrath, even as others, gives us hope. Because we may have sisters and brothers or mothers or fathers that are outside of this right now. Well, just think, well, one day I was. There was a time. So it gives us hope. Don't give up. They have friends who just sort of disdain. You got friends. I don't care a thing in the world about church. Bunch of hypocrites. And they are. They are. Brandon could tell you probably, I'm not perfect. And I'm not. I'm not. Grace made the difference. Esther Carmichael. She said, told a lady one time, a lady said, I don't believe that stuff. And Esther told her, she said, you know what? There was a time I didn't believe it either. What made the difference? Grace. That's what Esther did. Grace made the difference. And she told the lady, grace will have to make the difference in your heart. But it encourages. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Spirit, open your my heart. If he can open my heart, he can open anybody's heart. I sat down here in this church from the time I was born to mid-20s. It opened my heart. It didn't open anybody's heart. I have heard it every Sunday. Couldn't wait to get out. And then one day it opened my heart. There's always hope, isn't there? But there are, sadly, there are those others who will one day, they'll cry that scary prayer there in Revelation. Scary prayer in it, where they'll cry. They know that the day of grace is gone, I think. I think that's what. So they cry for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the glory of the one they rejected. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Scorn love. They've rejected. One day they'd wish they'd heard. Look at this. Look over at Proverbs chapter 1. I'd never noticed this. How about scorn love? You know, you've heard that, a woman scorned. Let me show you something. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom. Who have we been taught is wisdom personified? Or Christ, isn't it? So here you could say Christ, our Lord, crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long? This is what the Lord did with me for 20-plus years. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. If you'll turn, this is what I'll do. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I'll open them up. Listen to them. But then it changes, don't it? Because I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities. Too late now. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish comes upon you. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's, you know, whatever you sow, you reap. That's what he's talking about. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Reject. Here you go. But, believing, by grace, believing, trusting, relying on Christ alone. Here's my portion. Here's a believer's portion, this last verse. But, there's a but, right at the end of it. But there's a but in there. Yeah. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet, not worry, not have a care from fear of evil. He'll rest in Christ. It's good, isn't it? Well, that was then, but this is now. Thank God there's a now. There's a now. There can't be a now if this is you then. Go over to Romans chapter 8. The second point is the final point. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, here we are now, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What we are now, what a wonderment. Those who were children of wrath are now children of God. And it's so unbelievable that there's two witnesses given here in there. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's how unbelievable this is. I mean, you know, you tell somebody, you ain't going to believe this. And most of the time they don't, because you're the only one who saw it. You're not going to believe this fish. And I have. I've caught fish that you wouldn't, and I've shot at deer that you wouldn't believe at. And missed them, so couldn't prove it. But those we've all had those stories, haven't we? And they're true. We know they're true. We couldn't get the bass in. We saw it. And most guys say, yeah, you're right, I don't believe that. So God gives us two witnesses, don't he? Two witnesses. Those, our heart, my heart says this, something's different than it used to be. But my heart also says, I'm afraid to believe it. Does your heart say, I don't know, I'm afraid to really believe it. You know, I've always had that, and I do still a lot of times. I have a fear I'll die and get to heaven, and I'll be that one who says, depart from me. Wow. So it's hard for us to believe it. It is for me. I will never die, Steve, being one of those that you wish you would be who had assurance all the way through. I don't think I will. I just don't think I will. Some days are good, and some days I think, well, let me die today because I feel pretty good today. Don't let me die tomorrow because I'm going to wonder where I'm going. But that's all right. I'm not alone. If I was alone, I really would despair. But there's others, thank the Lord, that you've heard about. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and he does with us. He does with us, and he says, believe it. He said, believe it. I'm bearing witness to what your heart's telling you, so just go on and believe it. And that's this spirit. I can deceive myself, but this spirit can't lie. So if we could ever grab it, hold on to it, and continue to believe it, be good. But I do know this, my spirit, my insides, it says when I wake up in the morning or something, I look around and I attribute everything to God every day. I do. And that's a natural thing with me. And I know my spirit does that. Now, I know it does that. And I know my spirit wants to pray. And whether I bow down or not, or it's just, I want to commune. I do know that. I know that. I know. And I do know I think about Christ most all the time. You know, we got other things that come in between, but it'll come through. You'll have a thought of Christ, so I do know those things. And that gives me some hope, but not like the hope of that Holy Spirit. You know, because my hope, like I said, will go. It'll vacillate. It'll be pretty good right now, and then it'll turn later. I'll get mad at somebody at the fire station. It'll be different tomorrow. You know, it just happens. Vacillate. But then that spirit comes back, and it reminds me of things, and it shows me how. And the biggest way that you can rely on that spirit, it's going to be through here. It's not going to be some mystical talking to you. The only way you can get more and more assured in your stand with Christ is right here. It's going to be through here. Well, not only are there two witnesses, there's two ways we're born or we become children of God. The number one is is by adoption. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So number one is adoption. And suppose God, just suppose he didn't, he don't, but just for our minds, because they're weak, just say he asked the question. Say he said, how will I make these children of wrath? Go back over to Ephesians right quick. I tore that out of there. Ephesians right quick. Show you something. Ephesians 2, that same verse, same chapter we're at. So say God asks the question, how will I make these children of wrath maintain my justice? How am I going to make these children of wrath mine? Because we were that. Ephesians 2:12 says that at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And what's it say there? And without God in the world. So God says, this is them right now. How will I make them like it is here in verse 5 of chapter 1 of Ephesians? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Well, that's how he did it. He elected us to adoption. He predestinated us to adoption through Christ. We're adopted. That's how he did it. And Peter says we become partakers of the divine nature. We take on that life. It's a miracle in it. Regeneration. Adoption, you see, being adopted is only a part of it. Adoption is not, that's the second. Adoption makes you related, but adoption doesn't make you kin. Does that make sense? Adoption will make you a son or daughter, but it doesn't make you kin. Blood, does it? Can't. It's impossible. So if something else happened, something else had to happen. Because it's going to be a perfect relationship we have with the Father. So something else happened. Well, the second thing that happened to make us children is regeneration. Look at that Romans 8 there. Romans 8. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It's that old child. But they that are after the Spirit, this is the new child, the things of the Spirit. Here it is. For to be carnally minded, that old child is death. But to be spiritually minded, the new child is life. Regeneration. You were brought from death. You're like Nicodemus. You were born again. You were brought from death to life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. See it again there. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Let me read verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, made us alive in Christ. By grace are you saved? See, adoption gives us the privilege of children. Regeneration gives us the nature of children. An adopted child may not have those characteristics that are there, and they're just there. They're just there that a blood relative had. The characteristics, the looks. So adoption gives us the privilege of children, but regeneration gives us the nature of children. Adoption makes us part of the family. Regeneration makes us kin. It makes us spiritual beings. Regeneration does. Before we were regenerated, we were just body and soul. But after Christ breathes life into us, we become body, soul, in spirit. We're one with Christ. That's what that means. That's the difference there. Adoption, this is the important thing. Adoption and regeneration are must to be children of God. They both entitle us to all the privileges of a child. The love, adopted child, and a blood child. They both receive the same love. They both receive the same care. They both the same teaching. The same protection. You don't protect your own, your kin, your blood, and not protect your adopted. They get the same protection. They get the same everything. They also get the same whippings, don't they? Huh? That's what the scripture says. If you, being evil, know how to do good things to your children, and we are, that evil nature, that's what he's talking about. He said, how much more your Father in heaven going to give good things to you? And he adds this here. He said, Paul does. Paul in verse 17 of chapter 8. He says, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Then life, in real life, life we live, it's not necessarily a given to be a children and heirs, is it? That's not a given. You know, some folks, a lot of folks down in this community here believe that everything goes to the firstborn, and that they practiced it for, may still do it, but that's a old tradition. If everything goes to that, right? Everything goes to that one. And then if something happens, then it goes to the next. Wife and everything else, right? But in God's family, it says, if children, he and children, then heirs. All the children, every one of them, are heirs. The last elect, whoever is the last person, whoever comes to a knowledge of Christ, the very last one, gets just as much as righteous Abel. Just as much. And the very least. You know, I quoted John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Think about this. Much afraid and little faith will get the same inheritance that valiant for truth and faithful get. Same thing. Right? Is that right? It's an equal portion. If children, heirs. Not firstborn, not the strongest, not the fittest, not the biggest. If children is simply this. If children, if you're a child, you're an heir. And you're heirs of all God has. Now that can't happen in an earthly family, can it? When Kim's dad passed away, I had three cars. Well, Kim didn't get three cars, Greg get three cars, and Sonia get three cars. Y'all got one apiece. That's the only way we can divide it. That's the fair way to do it. If a man dies and leaves $100,000 to two boys, well, you divide it up 50-50, don't you? $50,000 apiece. We're using easy numbers because I'm bad in math, but that's the simple way it has. That's the way it goes in earthly inheritances. And even in some, go to Ezekiel 48, when those 12 boys received their portion of land. It had to be divided up, didn't it? May not have been equal, but they all didn't get equal portions, did they? You took this amount, there's Israel, and it was broken down. That's earthly inheritances, but not in God's family. Whatever I get from God, you get. What I'm saying is, everything you got in Christ, I got in Christ. I got just as much Christ as you got. Isn't that something? I got just as much Christ. I got just as much of Christ's righteousness as you got. Every bit of it. How much do you get? I got it all. How much do you get? You got it all. It's all equal. Heirs. That's why I didn't say heirs of heaven. See, heirs of heaven, but heirs of God, he's the only one who can do whatever he wants. He says, if you get all of Christ, and Steve gets all of Christ, and y'all get all of Christ, and y'all get all of Christ, then I said it, and that's how it's going to be. You get all of Christ. And that's all I got to say about that. And it's a certain inheritance. Well, again, in an earthly inheritance, an inheritance is not yours till it's yours, is it? I mean, you can think, you can look back. There was a time you thought that fellow's going to leave a big portion. Things happen. I mean, fellows can outlive theirs. They can make bad decisions with what they had. So just because a fellow's got it now, when it comes down to you, it may all be gone. There's no certainty to an inheritance. Could lose it all. I've known folks who had this and lost it before. That health could take every bit of what you got planned to give to you. Health can wipe it all out. It can be contested. That happens a lot of times. The devil wants to contest our inheritance. But you know what? God's got a shadow box. And when devil comes to you and says, "That's not, you're not a child, you're a bastard." And he goes to God. God says, "Nope, he's mine." He said, "I got his first hair. I got his first tear. I got his, you know, those shadow boxes. You put the baby's first hair in there." Well, God's got, I know he's got bottles and bags. So he's got a shadow box of us. He's got my first tear, my first look of faith, my first prayer. Got it all. So he said, "No, he's my child. Here it is." And then you're joint heirs with Christ. You know, if you got something, everything's better if you can enjoy it with somebody, isn't it? It just is. You know, somebody you love. It's just better if you have something to enjoy it with somebody. It's just the way God made us. Just not fun to enjoy things by yourself. It's not as enjoyable, is it? Well, we're joint heirs with Christ. We'll share it. Even though it's all mine and all yours, when you get to heaven, you're going to share it jointly, and you don't want to. And he deserves it. I mean, without him coming down here, his incarnation, him becoming a man, him becoming sin for me, him dying, him being risen, interceding now, without him, none of this child thing would be possible, would it? It's all because of Christ. Why wouldn't I want to share it with him? And I'm closing right now. There's some out here. There's some Esau. I think of two inheritances in the Bible. First one I think of is Esau there. And it says he sold his birthright, his inheritance, for what? Just a bowl of soup. A morsel of bread. Lamb stew. That's what he sold it for. And there are those professors of Christ who we all know have now gone back into the world. They're back. They traded. They decided. They sat here under the gospel or somewhere under the gospel, under the truth. And they decided that they would trade then for now. They decided they'd trade the sins of life, which is fleeting, for the joys of heaven, which is eternal. But they made the choice. That's what they decided. We're gonna go back. I hope by grace to be this other guy, this other inheritance, Naboth. He received an inheritance. And Ahab, the king, offered Naboth a better. It appeared to be a better inheritance, didn't he? Or a better vineyard. Naboth had a vineyard. Wouldn't give it to Ahab. Y'all know the story. And Ahab said, "I'll give you a better one. I'll give you a bigger one. More productive one. Made it look good. More valuable vineyard." And it cost him his life. But here's what Naboth said. He said, "God forbid that I would give the inheritance of my father to thee." And he died for it. He died for it. But I hope that's how I could. I don't want to trade my state in heaven for now. I don't want to do that. By grace, I hope not to do that. I know our Lord said this. He said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, turning around, is fit for the kingdom of God." As a living child, me and y'all, I hope, and I hope we do it together, I hope we always continue to walk toward home. Walk toward home.